to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Find out where the light is best for me. I think if I go a little farther back, that will be good for light. Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'm reading verses 15 to 19. Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15 to 19. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, in whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And the focus of our attention will be actually upon verses 18 and 19. So I'll read those again. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. The usual method of dealing with the passage is to see what the passage meant to the original hearers, see what it teaches us of God, and then ask what us. And that's a very good way to approach it, but you can't do that in this passage. I can't approach it that way because the original hearers didn't understand what was being said. And what it meant to them was completely puzzling. And they were asking questions. Lord, what do you mean by this? And in the interchange that goes on as you have them talking, they're constantly misjudging what he's saying. They don't understand what he's saying. So to decide what they were thinking when he was speaking, it doesn't really help us understand it very much. And the thing we have in our advantage is that we do understand what he's saying. That's the wonderful truth that is so exciting about this passage. That we don't have to have it explained. We know what it means. Here's the ones that are original hearers who are completely mystified, and we look at it and we see the truth. And it doesn't have to be carefully explained. And I don't intend to carefully explain it tonight. I simply want to point it out because you know what this passage is saying. So what we're really going to do is, first of all, look at the glorious truth, these two verses, 18 and 19. We're going to ask the question why they didn't understand it, consider why they didn't understand it, and see what we learn about God and ourselves with the passage. So we're focusing upon verses 18 and 19. We're going to look at the glorious truth, why they didn't understand it, and what we learn about God. Let's look again at the verses and we'll commit it to the Lord in prayer. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. The glorious truth is that Jesus does not leave us as orphans. Now, orphans really have three problems. And that's what we want to see, how Jesus does not leave us in that state. There are three problems that orphans have. And the first problem that we're considering is the problem of leadership and guidance. They don't know what choices to make. They are vulnerable and they don't know what to do. They need guidance. Your heart goes out to an orphan because they don't even know how to make decisions. Well, the people, the disciples, when they were with the Lord Jesus Christ, they were guided. Jesus told them where to go. Jesus directs them in the places they ought to be. Jesus teaches them what they need to know. And when it's a decision of what do we do now, Jesus tells them. And for 3 years, their education has been to follow what he said. He's led them. Well, an orphan needs leadership. Jesus is going. If Jesus goes, who will lead them? That's their great concern. What do we do? if we don't have you. You can read the whole section and see the times the disciples are grappling with this fact. Jesus won't be with them. What do you do if you don't have guidance? And that's where you know the answer. I mean, I talk to those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking primarily, but even if somebody hasn't personally committed themselves to Christ, they know this much. Jesus leads us. We know that. Did Jesus leave you without a guide, without a leader? Is there some way in which you don't have the leadership you need for your life? Of course not. You do have the leadership you need for your life. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Words with heavenly comfort brought. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Be thou my vision. How many things come to mind where the people of God have always known what it is to be led? And we're not orphans. We have leadership. God guides us. Our eyes are open. We'll look at later why theirs weren't at that point. But our eyes are open to the scriptures. And God speaks to us. And we can be told the way we need to go. We have the guidance that we need. We can bring into account what we need to have. We don't need to have somebody right there to tell us God. He's left us with guidance. One of the ways in which we need help, because we would otherwise be orphans, He supplies. And you can say, if you're a Christian, God leads me. I'm not talking about the fact that there's someone that leads me. Lead on, O King Eternal. People have written wonderful hymns that come to mind because they know that they have a leader in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second thing that, or a second thing that the orphan needs is protection. Your heart is so touched when you hear of child trafficking and realize a little child who's not able to protect themselves is taken advantage of and is abused. And it grieves you to see that because they can't protect themselves. It's dreadful to see it. Our hearts are touched by it. An orphan needs protection and help. There's something within many that rise to want to reach out to people that are kids that are subject to human trafficking because they need protection, and you feel they need protection. But do you need protection? Has not God given you protection? Doesn't Jesus protect you? The disciples, or we, are we left as orphans? We don't have protection. Well, what were the hymns we sung about? He hides my soul, the cleft of the rock covers me there with his hands. The hymns that speak again and again of protection. Safe to the rock that is higher than I. Though the angry billows roll, his anchor holds. Those pictures of having protection, you feel it if you're a Christian. You know you're protected by God. There's no question what it means. They don't understand what he can mean by that. He's going to be gone. What will they do? Well, he did protect them while they were with him, even from the elements. Remember the terrifying experience of the storm where at on the Sea of Galilee, and they were terrified for their life. What does he do? He speaks and he says, he doesn't even say he shouted, he spoke, and the winds come. Talk about protection. They're with Jesus who can protect them. Now, there may be many other times when Jesus protected them. He knew what problems they would be in and didn't let them be in that problem. He protected them. But the overwhelming thing that they must remember, he protected them even from the wind, even from the storm. Do you feel protected by Christ? You do. And the idea that he stilled the storm, you can say to your heart, God still storms. Still, God is to still the storm in a believer's life. And that still was a hard thing there. He continues to still the storm in a person's life. And you feel that the storms of your life are stilled by Jesus. He protects you. He keeps you. He shelters you. The idea of a shelter, sheltered in the rock, that idea, wonderful thought that comforts your soul. You know what that means. They used to be sheltered by Jesus, but they're not anymore. But he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. He didn't leave you an orphan. You have protection. He's committed himself to your protection. And every text that reminds you of that strengthens your confidence and helps you to face a world that is uncertain and falling apart and many difficulties and struggles and terrible things to fear. And you comfort yourself, remembering God's word and realizing that Jesus is with you. He'll be with you. When you walk through the waters, he'll be with you. They'll not overflow you. When you pass through the fire, you'll not be burned. Jesus is with you. How many times has that been the case for you? Been through terrible things, and Jesus has been there. And your heart said, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. What is this Jesus going with you? Well, you know what it means. They know Jesus is leaving. So how can he go with you? We don't fault them for not understanding. How would they understand? How could they know what you know? But do you know what he means when he says, I've not left you orphans? Well, of course you know what that means. He's been with you. In the most terrible trials, he's protected you. They have not destroyed you. Even though it might have seemed that you'd be destroyed, you weren't destroyed because he was there. You know Jesus. You know what he meant when he said, I won't leave you orphans. They were feeling, of course, they didn't know very much. We'll talk about why they didn't know, but when they say it, when he says it, they're perplexed. You and I are not perplexed about that. You see why I don't have to enlarge upon it and get out the Greek and see what I don't have. You know what we're talking about. You know what it is to be protected by Jesus. The third thing that an orphan needs, provision. He can't work to support himself. He's not able to work. He needs food, but he can't buy it. He needs to be provided for. Did Jesus intend to leave them without provision? Now, he had provided for them while they were there, while they were with him. I mean, not just in the miraculous way. Very impressive to see two occasions where he multiplies a few bread, pieces of bread and a few fish. He multiplies them and feeds the multitude. A couple of times that happened. That's pretty amazing. That certainly would mean he's able to provide. But actually, he didn't do that all the time. That's not how they got lunch on the days that they were meeting together. How did they get lunch? Well, we do see in the Bible, it talks about there were women that were committed to Jesus Christ. The wife of Zebedee was one of them, but there were others who were committed to care for these men as they ministered, and they, out of their own means, provided. Wonderful to see that ministry of the women who provided for Jesus in material things, and I'm sure in laundry and other things too. They were there to meet the needs of these people. So the men had it met because of Jesus. Jesus was the means of their everyday needs being met. They didn't have to constantly say, I gotta go and do some fishing. I'll be back soon. They didn't do that. Now, there was a time when Jesus had left and they said, and Peter said, let's go fishing. I'm going fishing. But they didn't always, in the time that they ministered to, they were under Jesus' ministry, they didn't run off fishing to provide for their needs. It was provided because of him. And it was provided by people who provided it because of him. And now he's gone. What did they do now to be provided for? Now, obviously, they'll go fishing, but Peter, he does that at one point, but what will they do? The orphan needs provision. Jesus said, I didn't leave you orphan. I'm not leaving you orphan. In the area of leadership, in the area of protection, in the area of provision, Jesus provides. Does he provide for you? You're a Christian. I'm talking to those that have come to know Jesus, who have an experience of what it is to walk with God. Does he provide for you? Would you say that Jesus provides? Would you say that you're an orphan and you have no provision? You can't even say it. You know what that means. You don't have to have somebody expound it for you so you'll understand what provision this provides. You know it. They don't see how it can be because he has provided, but he's been there. And now he's not going to be there. What do they do? And they're afraid. And he sees on their faces their fear. Earlier in the text, he looks on their faces and and are troubled. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. He's already working on the anxiety. He's been talking about leaving. He works on the anxiety that he already sees on their faces when he says, let not your heart be troubled. That idea that he's not going to be there is scary. Are you afraid by the fact that you don't see Jesus physically? Is there something in you that is nervous by the fact that you can't touch him? No. He's not left you an orphan. You have provision. God does provide. He'll use all kinds of amazing means, but he's the sovereign God who does those things. Yes, you'll work, but he gives you the strength to work and the opportunity to work and the economy that pays you. And he provides your daily bread. And you can ask God for your daily bread, and he gives it to you. But you're not an orphan. God provides it for you. In those words, I will not leave you orphans, at least those three things are there. There may be other things in terms of tender compassion and a sense of belonging and many other things that are part of what an orphan needs. Jesus gives you that. Does he give you a sense of belonging? Does he make you feel part of a family? Is that family relationship precious to you? Where did it come from? Jesus gives that. You have that. I don't have to expound it. It's obvious, isn't it? You're a Christian. You have a family. You have brothers and sisters. You have a place where you belong. All of that is yours. Why is it yours? Because he didn't leave you an orphan. He didn't intend you to be an orphan. He says that to his disciples. They don't understand about that, but he says that he's not leaving you an orphan. And it's wonderfully true. There are other things that he says in this passage that they do not understand. Later on, they ask about it. But it says, yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. You understand that? Does the world see Jesus? No. Do you see him? Yes. He's evident to you. You know he's there. Where is he? Show him to me. You smile. You can't show him. If they want to see him, they can see him, but they must come to him by faith and trust him. But you see him. I don't have to expound how does a Christian see Jesus. Well, it'd be interesting to hear somebody expound it. I'd like to hear that. But you don't need it. You see Jesus, and you know he's yours, and you're not an orphan. Well, it talks about, a little while the world will not see me, but you will see me. And you can say, I know what that's all about. I know the world doesn't see Jesus, but I see Jesus. And they can mock me and ridicule me for seeing Jesus and acting as though I see Jesus. They think I'm pretending. They think I'm playing some kind of a mind game. I am not playing a mind game. See Jesus in my life and by faith. He's a reality to me. It isn't a mind game, and it's not some sort of club that I've joined. It's not some sort of propaganda that I believe. I've come to know Jesus. I've known that he that began a good work in me will continue to the day of the Lord Jesus. One verse after that. People write hymns about these things. We can have no end of hymns for these kind of things. The wonderful provision of God, the wonderful protection of God, the wonderful guidance that God gives, and the tender love and the feeling of being in a family, and the sense of belonging, and all of those things that so warm our hearts. The disciples don't know what Jesus means. They haven't done that yet. They haven't seen that. What's going on here? How can you leave me? What are we going to do? We can't get along without you. Jesus says, I am not leaving you an orphan. I will come to you. And he comes, does he come to us? A little while the world won't see me, but you see me. Do we see him? You see how that doesn't need to be expounded. It just needs to be thought about. Because the Christian has seen that and knows what Jesus is talking about. Well, why don't they know what Jesus is talking about? Well, they don't know what Jesus is talking about because the work of redemption is not yet accomplished. This time in history, Jesus hasn't died yet. Now, he's talked about dying. That scares them. but he hasn't died yet. He's died. He's died now. We know that he died. And he also told them that he's going to rise again, so they should have been people of faith and just believe that. No big deal. God, he's going to come back. They didn't believe that. They hadn't seen the reality of it yet. You saw the reality. You have the account. You see that Jesus rose from the dead. You know that. That's why you know that these things are true, because he came back. He didn't die. But it's not done yet. How could they know it before it happened? Jesus wasn't yet crucified. So much of your comfort and encouragement is that he was crucified for you. How can that be for them? How can they understand it? Well, they can't understand it at this point. Jesus says it. Jesus said a lot to them that they hadn't understood yet. But we understand it. It isn't even hard. He wasn't yet crucified. He wasn't yet raised from the dead. Does the fact that he's raised from the dead do anything to you? Yes, it fills you with wonderful confidence, and you know that you can trust him because he broke the bonds of death and came forth. No one took his life from him. He laid it down, and he took it again. According to what he said, it's true. You know that. Do you have to have someone try to explain and convince you? Well, that would be very interesting to have them do that, because it is fun to think more deeply about these things. But you understand them. You know that he's crucified. They didn't know he wasn't crucified yet. He wasn't raised yet. There were 40 days of teaching that Jesus had for the disciples. Yes, they knew ultimately. We learn from them. Where did they get it? 40 days Jesus had to teach them about himself and to show them the truth of the scriptures, and from the whole scripture to open out to them where all these things were centered in him. He took 40 days to do that. And that was necessary for them. They didn't know until they were taught. Well, you wouldn't know unless you were taught, but praise be to God, you've been taught. And even from a child, you've been taught these things. Why do you know them? Because you've been taught them. They weren't taught them. They hadn't happened yet. And it took 40 days for the Lord to teach them what he needed to teach them. He hadn't yet ascended into heaven. A part of the whole picture is he returns to heaven. And then they wait for the gift that he promised. They wait for the gift. And they stay in Jerusalem and encourage one another while they wait for the gift of the Spirit of God. But you have that. You've seen. You've recognized. The glory of God in the face of Christ has been revealed to you because you have the Spirit of God. Now, there's a sense in which they had the Spirit of God. There are aspects of their knowledge of the Spirit of God that were there. He did breathe upon them and say, receive the Spirit. They did receive the Spirit in some sense. But it all was pointing forward to the fact that the Spirit would come in power on the day of Pentecost, and the church would be ignited with the reality of God. And that was yet to come. That hadn't happened. We don't fault them because they didn't understand. They were downcast. Didn't like him talking about going. He said, it's for your good that I come. He said, do you think it was good for your good that he left? Do you think it was for their good that Jesus left them? Well, there's no question in the world. What they had after Jesus rose from the dead and after he ascended into heaven was far better than anything they had while he was here. They can't conceive that because they love him and have depended upon him. But what they received when the Spirit of God came in power and made real and alive all these things that they had learned, when all of that happened, what they had was far better than having Jesus there to talk to. And we've always feel a little foolish when we say, oh, I wish I'd been alive and heard that message. Well, yes, that would have been interesting and fun. But would it have been as good as his going and giving you his Spirit? No. Well, they didn't. We understand then that they couldn't have the knowledge you have without the Holy Spirit. But you have the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. And what Jesus says is clear, obvious, and more precious when we realize that he declared it, and then he fulfilled it. And you live this time, this side of Pentecost. What a privilege to live this side of Pentecost. Even John the Baptist, the greatest of the prophets, lived that side of Pentecost. And you're greater than he is. That's the wonderful. Jesus says that the least of the kingdom of God is greater than John. John was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. But the least child of God is more blessed than he is. Greater than he is. We see things that he could talk about like an Old Testament prophet. And even at the end, it's always interesting to see, he asks, are you the one that is to come, or is there someone else? Well, they couldn't see. John couldn't see. He was an Old Testament prophet, and God had ordained he would be an Old Testament prophet. But you, as a child of God, are greater than the greatest of the Old Testament prophets by the fact that you see Jesus and know who he is. Jesus says to you that he's not going to leave you an orphan. Well, there are many things that we learn about God with regard to that, and well worth thinking about, but my time is about gone. And the children are going to finish their time, and so I can't just enlarge everything, but maybe the thing to say is, maybe I should remember that I am not an orphan. When I feel that I've got no guidance, wait, Jesus did not leave me an orphan. There is guidance for me in whatever situation, because Jesus did not leave me an orphan. So we need to tell ourselves when we're perplexed, you're not an orphan. Perhaps you haven't discovered yet what God's will is. Then keep working, keep thinking, keep praying, keep searching the scriptures. But you're not an orphan, so you don't have to be there without any guidance. He gives you guidance. He gives you leadership. You're not an orphan. Jesus said, I'm not leaving you an orphan. We are not orphans. And how about protection? You ever get afraid? You ever wonder what will happen to you? You ever think maybe you're in danger? Well, you are in danger. There's a lot of dangers. Can Jesus be your protection? You are invulnerable until God wants to take you home. No one can destroy you. People can kill you, but only when God permits it for his glory and for your good. And you know that's the case. And you know that your times are in his hands and you can depend on him, because he's not left you an orphan. You're not without protection. His protection is there. Does he lift the protection and allow you to die from a gunshot wound? Well, of course you could be the case. But it would only be an entering into heaven for you, and God's in control of that. Are you safe? Are you safe in the arms of Jesus? You are. You and I are safe in the arms of Jesus. He didn't leave you an orphan. You have guidance, you have protection, and provision. Where will your next meal come from? Well, that's pretty settled. You don't have to worry about that. Well, actually, maybe we ought to be concerned. He said to pray for our daily bread. So maybe we better pray for our daily bread, even though we got quite a lot in the freezer. We're in pretty good shape, all of us. We really don't have to worry much for quite a few meals, and pretty good shape. He said, give us this day our daily bread, because that's the way he feeds us, daily. So maybe we ought to remember that and say, I'm not an orphan. I'm fed regularly by the hand of my God. Jesus feeds me. Jesus shepherds me. Jesus provides for me. He guides me. He protects me. And he provides for me. What else are you going to worry about? Direction in life. You have to worry about that? No. I mean, you've got to find it. Not that he has ways of teaching you. You know, the way he taught you where you should be right now with your life was not what you would have predicted it would be. You had to find it. But did he give it to you? Yes. Terms of protection. Have you been in danger before? Yes. Well, how did you get out of that? He protected you. And in terms of provision, don't count on the full freezer. I mean, it's nice to have that, and you're good to be able to show hospitality, other things. No problem with storing food. Daily, he gives you food. May the Lord help us to remember that. He didn't leave me an orphan. He feeds me daily. Puts food there. Daily. Well, then I need to remember that that's the case and I shouldn't behave like an orphan. I shouldn't act like somebody that doesn't know which way to go. No, maybe I should pray, Lord, you teach me the way to go and show me your word and instruct me in the way that I should go and grant me your Holy Spirit that I may be guided. We can pray for those things. We can call upon God. We can seek him. He gives us guidance. When we're afraid, he's in control. We can believe that and trust him. Because he didn't leave me an orphan. He didn't leave you an orphan. And when it comes to provision, he will provide. Sometimes much less than you would have chosen. But that's a joy, to take less from God. There's a sense in which that less is more precious. I did have just a little time of that when I was in England after the Lord saved me. I was living on very little money, borrowing the money that was there, very little money. I actually lived in London for $125 a month, including everything. Even realizing this 50 years ago, that was amazing that one could do that. You know, there are times that what I had to eat was, I could cook rice with a bouillon cube in it. And so the bouillon cube, of course, dissolves and gives it the rice a good flavor. And, you know, I remember how happy I was with that. This is after the Lord saved me, especially. How thankful I was for rice boiled with bouillon cube in it. It tasted good. That can be where we are. We don't have to be abundantly provided for. Rice with a bouillon cube is a feast if we know Jesus. And you know that's true. You haven't gotten to that point yet, but you know if things get rough and you only have a little... Isn't it wonderful to see that painting of an old man who's bowing in prayer and there's a piece of bread in front of it? You know that painting. It's kind of hokey maybe, and maybe it's sentimental. But it's kind of neat to see somebody praying for a crust of bread and thanking God. But you'd like to be that person who could have a crust of bread and feel that way. So those things speak to your heart because of the heart God gave you when he took the stony heart out of your flesh and gave you a heart of flesh. And that one who did that, sent his spirit to that end, did not leave you an orphan. May God remind us when we find ourselves fretting and troubled and concerned and worried, he didn't leave me an orphan. May God remind us. Well, look at the verse we're looking at. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. A whole opening there to talk. Because I live, you will live also. Well, I don't have time and I can't do this any longer. Do we have because he lives, is that on the overhead? Because that hymn, it's not in the hymn, but because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I carry on. Because I know who holds the future and God is, and life is worth the living just because he lives. But I don't know whether we have that on us. We do have that. Well, let's sing that in closing, and that will... We already know what that means. Because I live, you will live also. Isn't that the truth? And we think about that. Well, then let's say that as we sing this hymn. Because I live, I can face the future. Let's pray right now. Thank you, Lord, for these things. What a joy it is to think about them. And thank you that we don't need to parse the Greek and dig through the commentaries to see these things. You have shown us. You have opened our eyes to see. We bless you. Help us to live aware that we are not orphans. Pray in Jesus' name.